But these are the two questions I have for Councilman Gay. The first one is there was legislation, I believe, was passed last meeting that changed something about donations. The question is not about that, but is there any sense on the city council? Is there any way that the city council is going to hold Donna Deegan accountable for the bad acts that you've just been talking about? That's the first question. And the second question is, now the statue's gone down, I don't believe, and hearing from various people, various city councilmen, there's any kind of spine to put the statue back. So the question becomes, where do they put it? And I'm very concerned that they're going to put it at the Jacksonville Historical Society site, which is right next to the Vistar Arena, particularly given the fact that Ben Frazier's daughter was just put on the board. So my second question is, who is going to put up legislation, an ordinance, to make sure that wherever the Women of the Statues, Women of Southland statue goes, does not go onto private property and become a tool to be used for a false narrative?
That's a good question. We'll answer that partially. And Blake, if you would, hold on till after the top of the hour news. We'll finish it. But Mike, do you have a precursor answer to that in about a few seconds?
Yes, initially, we would be looking to go to step 2 and 3 that you're talking about, Blake, after we can dive through the weeds of what took place and get a handle on that first. And so I wouldn't want to speculate on anything beyond that.
All right, well, Mike, and ladies and gentlemen, hold your thoughts for just a moment. Blake, we'll be right back right after the top of our news. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church. And Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Former President Trump's legal team citing executive privilege, asking a Florida judge to dismiss the criminal case, charging Mr. Trump with illegally holding on to classified documents. Looking to punish Russia for the war in Ukraine and the death of dissident Alexei Navalny, the Biden administration is imposing hundreds of new sanctions on Russia. And Russian ally Iran is also being targeted. AT&T putting to rest all the speculation over the cause of yesterday's nationwide cell phone outage, saying it was not the result of a cyber attack. It was, according to AT&T, a technical issue. A privately owned lander has touched down on the moon, marking America's return to the lunar surface after more than 50 years. Watching Wall Street, stocks are higher so far this morning. The Dow is up 190 points, while the Nasdaq is ahead 3 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast. As we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale, please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today an issue that I believe we need to be concerned about locally, and I'm calling it the mayor's monument mistake, and I believe we have Blake still on the line. Blake, continue with your question and comment,
yes, sir.
Mike.
Okay, so Mike, you've addressed the issue of holding Deegan accountable, but the reality is I don't know where we're going with the statue. My perception is, with everything that's happened, that city council has no spine whatsoever, isn't willing to stand up the right things and for our constant liberty and speech. I've had conversations. I'm not going to mention whose names are on the air, but my impression is that there's going to be an attempt to put the Women of the Southland statue over at the Jacksonville Historical Society, and those folks over there think history changes, and they just put Ben Frazier's daughter on the board. So what can you do? And I've talked to three or four different city councilmen at this point in time to pass an ordinance that city assets do not get placed on public private property.
That's a good question. Mike, go ahead.
Yes, sir. You know, like I was kind of alluding to before, is I really haven't crossed that bridge yet, but back to some of the original questions that I posed on this was, who owns it? And so if we get a definitive, and we can get a definitive ownership of it, then we're able to then go to the next stage of what can be and cannot be done with it. So if it's determined that the city owns it, then we can look at legislation. If it's determined that the original grantors of it, donators, own it, then that's the avenue that would need to come as far as direction of it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Am I accurate in perceiving that basically, and you're one person of 19. We've got the Democrats, and of course we have Matt Carlucci, who all want to take it down. But the remainder are the Republicans. They don't have any. Somebody's saying the political will. I'm saying the courage and the spine to do the right thing to put the statue back. Is that a fair analysis?
You know, you're correct. I'm one of 19, and I'm not going to speculate on the other 18. We would hope that we could bring something forward that we could get them, at least a majority, to agree on to going forward with it.
Blake, resolve some of the questions you have?
Well, and Mike is answering the question the only way he can, because we have to have open conversations, and we have to keep our positions undefined until the actual question comes up. So Mike is being very response smart in terms of answering my question. One last comment for you, Dr. Youngblood. It is absolutely amazing to me. Wells Todd, who is the leader of Take 'Em Down Jack, posted on his Facebook page post advocating for Fidel Castro and advocating for socialism. And what has happened is through the media and through the Democrat Party and these left-wing groups, they are hiding the reality that this is a Marxist socialist effort. The fact that the leader of Take 'Em Down Jacksonville openly acknowledges that he's a socialist, which really means he's a communist, and city council and the Republicans have aided and abetted the work that he's doing. It is a very dark moment for our city. And we, as the heart of the Republican Party, the grassroots of the Republican Party, have to stand up to this and start holding these people accountable.
Blake, you're exactly right. And I can say some things that City Councilman Mike can't say. And that is, I believe that we need to have, if they call themselves Republicans, they need to grow a spine and stand up for what is real and stand up for what is necessary for us to maintain our society without bending and bowing to the woke, cancel culture, progressive mindset that is nothing more and nothing less, as you said, than Marxism. And we're finding that creeping into city after city after city across America. And so I'm thankful for city council members like Mike, that's taking a stand, willing to stand on it, even though he might stand alone. That's okay. I'm thankful for those that will do so. So, Blake, all we can do is keep praying and asking God to give Mike and others like him wisdom in making decisions on the Jacksonville City Council that will honor the Lord. Blake, thank you.
Amen.
So much for your call. God bless you. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. And you know what? And I'm behind you 100%. When you said that anybody that destroys it, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And which is true. I remember, because I'm going on 70 now, I remember when we used to go downtown by Woolworth and J.C. Penney's. You know, you had the black and white restrooms. And I remember the monument. And I asked my brother about it. And he explained to me, you know, that, you know, that was back in the days. But it is sad. It is sad. And this 16, whatever they call it, 16, 19 or whatever, 92 or whatever, for trying to teach these young kids, young black kids, to be hateful. That's sad.
It is, and what you're saying, Kenneth, you're exactly right. We find today an attempt to rewrite history and to make history future that which is antithetical to our Constitution and for what America is founded on, and we're leaving God out, we're leaving biblical principles out, and we're going simply from the standpoint of what I call a Marxist agenda to tear down and destroy what God has given us in America. There's an attempt today to erase history and to make history what the Marxist agenda would be for our nation. And we see that creeping into our city. And this is the reason I'm thankful for those that will stand for truth and will take a stand even if they stand alone. So, Kenneth, what it takes is for me and you and others that's listening today to let our city councilmen know we want them to do the right thing. We want them to not shy away from the issue, but, as I call it, grow a spine, face the issue, and do the right thing. And the right thing is to leave our monuments alone. That is history, and we need not try to rewrite and change history. That's my position on it.
That is history. Yes, sir.
Yes, right. It is. Well, Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call. Looking forward to what God is going to do in the future as we have Councilman Mike Gay and others that's willing to stand with him and get the right thing accomplished in our city. Mm-hmm. I believe Lydia is on the line. Lydia, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Good day. And to our representative. I am in full agreement with what you're saying, and that's shocking because things like this should never, ever be happening. Decisions like this cannot be taken by any one person or anything. This is terrible. This country, you would think, is a country that represents law and order. And more we're getting this kind of behavior that, as it were, you know, unbeliever. You didn't expect conduct like this to happen in a country like this. How could a monument that represents the city be just be taken? I am not fully involved in Jackson. I'm pretty new here. But when the former mayor was doing things like that, I was disgusted with his behavior. I couldn't think that a mayor would do things like that at the dead of night. You take it to do without proper representation and agreement and understanding of what is happening. And now for it to happen again, you know, it shouldn't. I don't think, others before mentioned the spinelessness. We can't continue. We're losing our country and losing our freedom with this kind of spineless behavior where we just tolerate unilateral crazy actions and put up with it. No. In other words, when it happened like this at this time, I think the proper thing is that it should be replaced. If our mayor recognized that she did something, overstepped her bounds, did something that should not have been done, it need to be replaced. They need to put it back and allow proper legislation to take place before any action of removing and dismantling what the city represents and so on. This is very bad. We're losing
Lily,
our freedom.
Lily, you're exactly right. And I'm thankful for your statement. Not only should we not do this again as far as removing monuments, I believe this monument needs to be put back in place. I believe it needs to be. I believe the mayor and the chief general counsel needs to recognize errors were made and to replace the monument, put it back in place.
That's
I believe that is the right thing to do.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you, Lily, for your call. God bless you. I believe we have James on the line. James, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood, and welcome to your guest, Councilman Gay, who I agree, phenomenal, and thank God that there are still a few warriors that are standing firm in the faith. In regards to the monument, this is specifically, exclusively about the monument. But the important thing I think that the listeners need to know is that the basis of the monument is the result of the symptoms of the constitutional crisis and the rule of law and the Constitution. Many, many people are walking around, as Galatians 3 says, oh, Galatia, who has bewitched you, in the beginning of Galatians 3. They've been lulled into complacency. And so just because the law is being broken, there's no outrage. There's no one willing to stand up. Now, I say that having known full well that Representative Gay is there, or Councilmember Gay is there answering questions and so forth, but he can't do it alone. Those of us that believe the monument taken down, especially in the night and so forth, with no permits pulled or no real authority or pointing to ownership of who actually owned the monument, with studies on the ecological or whatever impact it would make if it was hazardous waste being removed or tilled up when it was excavated, all those sort of things. We as private landowners, if we do anything, we have to do a permit for anything and everything. We're taxed in everything and anything. But yet government, from the highest levels in Washington to municipalities and little cities, is doing what they want to do, and we, the people, quietly sit by and think we can do nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm here to tell you that we collectively can do a whole heck of a lot. And thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for being brave enough to have great shows like this and have outstanding men of God and women of God that stand up and speak the truth, seek the truth, and want to proclaim the truth.
Absolutely.
Now the thing is, wake up. Wake up, people.
Yes. James, hold on for just a moment. Let me add a little parenthetical footnote to what you just said. I believe that we, the people, need to retake our government, whether it's local, state, or national. And by that, it means we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. And I would recommend to all of our listeners today, pick up the telephone, call your city councilman for your district, and say, please, 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 take a stand, put the monument back in its place, pass the city legislation that would prevent this from happening in the future. I believe the city council now is on the right track. We're trying to determine what kind of legislation can the city council pass, and can they passed it in such a way that not just with this mayor, but future mayors would have to go through the proper channels of getting anything like this done in the future. I think that is a fix that needs to take place. Just as with our national political arena, we need to pass legislation that will prevent the executive orders from being done, just as Joe Biden has ruled the roost, as the old cliche goes, with almost 100 executive orders, rather than following the legislative process to do so. We're a constitutional republic with a representative form of government, and that applies local, state, and national, and we, the people, need to take that control back. And so let me say again, James, and you're right, I need to say, and I think that you're saying the same thing in a different fashion, that all of our listeners need to call your city councilman. Be kind, be courteous, be polite, but insist that they take a stand to prevent this from happening again, and to, if at all possible, cause this monument to be put back in place. I do know there's legislation that's on the move in Tallahassee that, if passed, will do that very thing. Mike, what do you say?
You know, one thing we got to keep in mind, we have laws of the land. And if we don't enforce the laws are useless.
That's right.
And we have Florida Statute 806 that is so definitive that it is, if you mess with, take down, deface. I mean, there's a whole list of things that if you do to a monument, it's a felony.
Right.
And it's good that we're going to look at trying to pass additional legislations to stop loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
But what really we need as a society, as a we the people, that the laws of the land are no more circumvented, watered down, ignored, but enforced.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's where we eventually have got to go back to who is responsible for enforcing the laws and hold them accountable to enforce that law.
Absolutely. James, thank you so much for your call. for your input. Keep on keeping on. I'm thankful for you and for the ministry that God has you carrying out, and that is part and parcel of what we're talking about today, is standing for truth, standing for the freedoms that we have, and standing for the legacy monuments that talk about and give evidence of our history past. Thank you so much for your call. I believe I have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, I want to thank you for having Mike Gay, my favorite councilman, as your guest.
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you for discussing the topic of the monuments, and for Blake Harper, who's doing a great job trying to protect our heritage and culture. But I have one question that maybe I missed, but I guess that I didn't miss it. It never happened. We know this statue was defaced. How come there was never an investigation to find out who the culprits were? How come we don't have a single suspect? So that is not to be investigated. Had it been some black monument, it would have been called racist and investigated until we found a culprit, even if we had to make one up. So I support T.K. Waters. He's doing great. I think that Mike Williams was worthless, because it happened during Mike Williams' time in office as sheriff. But I never heard of anybody investigating who defaced the statue. Does anybody know anything?
Mike, how do you respond to that?
Well, we know the actions that took place by the authorization, the directive of the mayor's office. At this point, and the reason I'm asking the questions that I'm asking is I have to have, or we as the people need to have a definitive answer according to the statute who the owner is. And once we know that, then we're able to apply the, if it's applicable, the 806 statute. But until that, then it's we're kind of, our hands are tied. I don't want to sit here and beat a drum that will be pointless and egg on my face if we don't have our facts first.
That's well stated. Derby, a question that I'll ask Mike in your presence, and I think that it's worthy of investigating and responding to. Mike, I believe the city council in one of the subcommittee meetings met with Fackler, the chief general counsel, and the recommendation that he gave to Mayor Donna Deegan was that she had the authority, unilateral authority, to remove the monument without going through city council, without going through the permit process, without all of the things that are extraneous to that. Did he give a render a decision under political pressure, in your opinion, or did he give a decision that was based on the legal aspect of it?
There is debate about that, and he actually did come back and say that he had a intense, and I could be wording it not correctly, so don't hold me that, mm-hmm. but had an intense conversation which poised him to adjust his statement on it. And so it's still subjective to further scrutiny on exactly what took place to get straight answers. That's where the frustration's at.
The reason I say that, Mike, and for the benefit of Derby, I'm looking at a online news article. What did the general counsel's opinion say about the removal? Fackler broke from the opinions of his predecessors, who told Donna Deegan, previous mayors, that a certificate of appropriateness was necessary. He wrote a legal memorandum explaining the opinion after City Council President Ron Salem requested it after the monument removal. Fackler reiterated points he explained to City Council in previous meetings that Deegan had the legal authority to use private funds without council approval, but expanded on the lack of a certificate. So the question still remains, Councilman Gay, did Donna Deegan follow the Florida statute and the proper procedure for removing the monument?
There is quite a bit of discussion still about that. From my perspective, and the reason I'm putting so much effort into it, I think that there was some missteps taking place here. Mm-hmm. And basically, the wink and nod process. Just get it down. Don't worry about it. When you deal with construction law, okay, there was a request by the contractor to the sheriff's office for a off-duty officer for a construction project.
Mm-hmm.
That was the request that was made.
Mm.
It was identified as a construction project. An entity that does not own the statue receives money to pay to have the work done. They are contracting. And when you contract, and you're, number one, not the owner, number two, you're not an architect, engineer, or a licensed contractor, you're illegally contracting.
Mm-hmm.
And the nonprofit that was doing this was contracting illegally.
Mm-hmm.
From just a perspective here, and so I don't want that to be taken as I just rendered a legal opinion.
But from the Florida statute and from the rules and regulations, that would be true.
Dealing with the Department of Business Professional Regulation, mm-hmm. that is where you cannot contract unless you are a owner or architect, engineer, but licensed contractor.
Right,
and so. There's some cloud on that, and that needs to have definition to it. So there's multiple layers of levels of here that's been circumvented.
But you're still working on it, and I'm thankful to hear that.
Yeah,
Derby, do you have any other questions?
Well, going back to the main reason for my comment is I would like to see the guilty party, the ones who defaced this statue, to be punished, period. Let's find out who it is or who they were. And again, I say Mike Williams was worthless. I like T.K. Waters. Maybe he could do something about it. People commit crimes. They need to be punished, period. That's the law.
Absolutely. Well, Derby, thank you so much for your call. We got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast. We're with Councilman Mike Gay, District 2 City Council. City Councilman Gay, in some of the conversations, Matt Carlucci said, well, the Chief General Counsel has apologized. He made an error. And that should be sufficient. We just leave it as it is. I've used the illustration, if somebody to go out and rob a bank and spend the money and he gets caught, he says, well, I'm sorry I did it. That doesn't right the wrong. How do you respond to that, Mayor Deegan says, I'll not do it again. The Chief General Counsel said, I made an error, and I recognize that. Does that right the wrong, or what would be the strategy from this point forward, in your opinion, as a councilman?
Well, you know, if it's a kid stealing bubble gum at the store, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a professional that's been in business for many years, there's a different level of accountability.
Absolutely. Goes back to accountability, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Before we close, I'd like to go ahead and throw a shout out to, we've got school board elections coming up.
Yes.
And we need good people in there. And so, you know, we've got Rebecca Nathanson in District 3. We've got Reggie Blunt in District 5. And we've got Melody Bullock in District 7. We need to uphold these, and we need to pray for these people, that we get good people in here on the school board that are Christian-minded, that are good fundamentals.
Absolutely. Let me say this, Mike. For any of those that you know personally, tell them to get with me, and we'll do an interview to promote them on the air. Love to do that.
Yes, sir.
It'll be a blessing.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St.